Call it 50 Years and Counting. And we're going to examine and look at 50 years since the Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream speech. And we're doing it because we feel that it deserves a bit more discussion, I think, than what has been given thus far. Particularly when we look at the statistics that indicates times are worse now for the African American than in 1963. Is equality a fact yet here in America? Our guest today is you, the audience of KBOO, and I invite you all to call in with your comments and or observations during the discussion. Our call-in number is 503-231-8187. That's 503-231-8187. And we will repeat the number as often as need be. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Get started, shall we? This program is definitely needed. I think it's a program that had to be broadcast and a discussion that has to take place, particularly as I mentioned, in light of numerous kinds of observations that I've had. And I'd like to perhaps maybe get your sense of what we're going to be addressing today, and that is the 50 year celebration, and the both nationally and in Washington D.C. and of course here locally. So we want to take an opportunity to look at some of the issues and some of the things that I've noticed, and I don't know, it could be just me. Okay. So, but my first question is, what are we celebrating? What are we celebrating? Marching? We celebrating other than a nostalgic, visceral, euphoric look at a day 50 years ago and remembering that day. No discussion of what I call... And what should be, at least, if you have a business for 50 years and it produces absolutely nothing, you know, I would think that it would be time to make some adjustments, develop a new business plan, a new 5-year plan, or something. Make some sort of change and develop a new agenda, get a new strategy. I didn't hear that at all. And that concerns me after 50 years. I mean, are we going to have to wait 50 more years before deciding that perhaps we need to look at another strategy, if we're indeed, in fact, using a strategy? Dr. King spoke in a lot of general terms, and as I say, I'm playing devil's advocate in that, because I know that, you know, that this is a really, you're not really allowed to criticize or examine where we are and where we come from, where we're going. In a lot of instances, but here we are on the verge of war once again. And a lot of the things at home are not being dealt with. Serious, serious things. 503-231-8187 is our number. 503-231-8187. The original march was for for an example, was for freedom, meaning the power and the right to vote, which is now in jeopardy, as we've seen with the Supreme Court and their recent ruling. And it seems that we have a retrenchment of certain voting right issues and so forth by the Supreme Court. So that was the purpose of the original march, but jobs, education, these are the things that I would think that would be something that leaders, so-called leaders, locally and nationally would consider. Locally, just take a drive through Northeast Portland. Take a drive through Northeast Portland. Let me just quote you some of the figures and some of the statistics that we're looking at when we talk about 50 years of I Have a Dream. In the housing industry, black households who own their home are 37%. White households who own their own home are 68%. The median income for black head of households is $30,000. The median income of white headed households, $46,800. Percentage of black adults with no checking accounts, 20%. Percentage of white adults with no checking accounts, 7%. 35% of black children live in households with income below the poverty line. Let's look at education, because I'm in social services, and you'd be surprised how many people can't write at all, particularly African Americans. Okay. Black students are twice as likely to be suspended or expelled as white students. Black students who meet or exceed the 10th grade reading benchmark, 38%. White students who meet or exceed the 10th grade reading benchmark, 68%. And education was never mentioned. When we see the administration, and maybe our expectation was in 2008 was one thing, but now after we're looking at President Obama's second term and seeing what he can do and what he can't do, Head Start is being under attack. Food stamps are threatening to be cut off with this sequestration, and these are just some figures. Look at the criminal justice system, for example. Black incarceration rates are 6 times that of whites. Black people make up 4% of the general population, but 25% of the state's prison population. That's this state. You want to look at healthcare? Black babies are 50% more likely to be born with low birth rate. Low birth weight. Black babies are 50% more likely to suffer infant mortality. I mean, these are some of the reasons why I think it may be premature to march down the street and sort of some sort of celebration when I think, you know, I'm not being naive here. I think that everyone, there are many folks that recognize we still have a long way to go. You know, that's one of the famous cliches, that we still have a long way to go. But no one is talking about a new strategy. I mean, are we going to continue to do this the same thing for another 50 years? So these are some of the talking points. If you have an observation, please, by all means, correct me. 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. Okay. I think I have a phone call, and we can let other folks get in this conversation. Okay. Okay. KBOO, you're on air.
Hello. How you
Hello. Doing? Question or comment?
Well, I just say the comment is that the African American community has become very complacent and
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Could you back up just a little bit there?
Yeah.
Very complacent. From complacency.
Complacency as far as integration is concerned, we didn't think that any of that applied to us anymore.
Right.
And
you know, not to cut you off, but integration, I think, was a flawed strategy from the very beginning.
Yeah, it was. But black people had a lot of self-hate issues. And that's the point I'm trying to bring up, is that we're going to have to roll everything back and take a really hard look at ourselves first.
Right.
You know, that's where it starts. And, I mean, you're absolutely right. And, by the way, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
I never heard you before, but hang in there. There are people out there who are very, they're feeling you on a lot of levels,
mm-hmm.
you know. And just keep doing what you're doing, because it needs to be heard.
Well, brother, with brothers like you, it's easy to keep doing what you're doing, because, you know, you're not talking into, you know, sometimes we feel like we're talking into a vacuum. You know,
well, we're not. I mean, I think our primary issue is that we're not aligning ourselves with our black woman enough. I'm looking at a lot of these black so-called leaders, and we really need to take it out of the hands out of the men and give it to the women.
Mm-hmm.
Like Dick Gregory said, if it wasn't for the black church and the black woman, we wouldn't have the freedom that we have now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, every time I look at any of the movements, it's too male oriented, and the black men don't know how to humble themselves to women enough.
Right.
You know? And
right.
I think when we start to humble ourselves to the opposite sex, things will turn around for us.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to, how can I put this? We're trying to emulate a system that won't work for us.
That culture doesn't work for us.
Well,
I mean,
the thing about,
when are our leaders are going to? I mean, because we have people suffering in the meantime. You know, we have people suffering in the meantime. We have murder rates in our community, gang violence.
Well, it all goes back to good paying jobs. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm a union member.
Yes.
And if I sit in a lunch tent mm-hmm. of 1,500 people, I notice about maybe 10 African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and this is the hard truth. And I think all of this is about competition for resources. And when African Americans realize this, you know, maybe we'll wake up.
Yeah,
you know,
maybe.
I mean, look, I was up here in Portland in 97 in Northeast Portland, and I really liked it. You know, I mean, and there was a black community, and there was a lot of older African Americans in their houses, and for what I understand, the housing problem basically took a lot of their houses away from taxes and stuff like that. I mean, things like that. I mean, there were a lot of elderly African Americans who thought that they were exempt from their taxes, and the state just took it from them because
just took it.
It goes back to resources. I've been watching this gentrification of Northeast Portland, and this gentrification is nationwide.
I
am originally from the East Coast, and they had gentrification on the East Coast, but I never thought it'd come out this far.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it took no time to happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at the black community across the nation.
Okay.
I'm going, what is going on with us?
Okay. Okay, it's a good question. Thank you for your call.
Yes, sir. Have a good day.
Okay, you too. Okay. 503-231-8032 is the number.
8187.
Pardon me. 231-8187 is the number. 231-8187. Give us a call here at It Takes a Village. Okay. Another issue I want to bring up real quickly. The whole thing of a new agenda, okay? As we appear to be ready for war again, and by the way, blacks have fought admirably in every battle this country has ever had, okay? But don't yet enjoy the full limits or the full fruits of this nation. The judicial system appears to be in retreat. One of the things that I noticed about the film The Butler, which was, I thought, a very, very, very good film. These folks were trying to get equal pay in the White House under liberal presidents. For how long they were making 40% less than white butlers in the White House. Can you believe that? Okay. And, yeah, so 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. One of the things I notice is when we talk about Black history in March on Washington, and we celebrate it and celebrate the I Have a Dream speech we look at every year, and there's always this kind of mural that you'll see of Black leaders, and they usually have Malcolm there now. They didn't support Malcolm when he was alive, but in death he supported, and they usually have a photograph with Dr. King, Malcolm, and I'm sure some of you have seen that photograph, particularly if you're African American. But one of the things that we neglect to remember, because I lived during those times, one of the things we neglect to remember is that Malcolm didn't support marching. He said that you're not going to march your way into freedom. You're not going to, I mean, right now we have what I call economic segregation, you know, and it's time for a new strategy. I think that discussion needs to take place locally, because it's certainly not taking place locally. When we look at, the Black Panthers, for example, they had a better concrete program than a lot of folks, but that's my opinion. KBO, you're on air. Your question or comment?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
My comment is a couple of things. First of all, in terms of marching for jobs,
I'm just
over it.
Pardon
I've
me?
Gone back to school to train in a STEM career in which I'm going to be a business owner.
Good for you.
And I think that should be the goal of every Black adult who feels it within their capabilities. The time for begging for jobs is over.
I agree.
We need to create our own businesses. We need to hire each other. We need to create jobs.
Do you see in Northeast Portland right now, in terms of businesses? Now, look at the Portland Development Commission that shelled out money to I don't know how many businesses, how many of them are black, how many of them are the community based. You can go up you can go up Mississippi Avenue. You can go down Northeast Alberta. You can go Williams. New Seasons is opening. I mean, you know, but when it comes to black people, right, we couldn't get along because of the various tactics by the banks. It's not a coincidence that you find many of us out by the numbers. That just didn't happen overnight. But our so-called leaders are not addressing it. What is our agenda? At least, you know, and I applaud you, let me say, because at least you have an agenda. And I think that that's going to be the movement of the next decade. Individuals not looking for some sort of messianic leadership or charismatic leadership that is going to do it for us. But taking the individual initiative, as you have done, to educate yourself and hopefully to bring some of that money back to the community. One last point I'm going to make. LeBron James, we hear a lot of it. Oprah. I mean, you know, these athletes that are making these multi-million dollar salaries, rap artists and so forth. What are they doing in the community?
Well, you know, even looking at someone like Tyler Perry, I just read that he gave $1 million to T.D. Jakes. It's like, is that the best you could do? Is that the most creative thing you could think of? You couldn't have, like, started some little, at least for $1 million, you could have maybe opened up a storefront medical clinic. You could have opened up a community. You could have bought land and started a community garden. You could have started a media center for kids. You could have opened a community center. You needed to give it to a church.
Boy, we need to have you on. We need to have you down here at K-Boo. Thank you so much for your call. I got another call coming.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. K-Boo, you on the air?
Yes, this is Marie. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can, Marie.
Okay, well, good morning and wonderful
morning.
Program. And I have three quick points, but the intro is that
really
K-Boo
quickly,
really...
because, I only have a half an hour, but go ahead.
Okay, K-Boo has really educated me so much. I'm so grateful for the wonderful education about Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, that many, many white people need that education. So my three points are that I think Martin Luther King changed the language. It's after saying, I have a dream, and now we have the Hispanic people saying, dreamers. Martin Luther King changed our language, which he contributed. And the next two points are, right here on K-Boo Radio, I called in when they were doing the fluoridation vote, that black pastors spoke out against fluoridation of Portland's water. That will be coming up again next year. So the black pastors were leaders, and I'm wonderful. That's wonderful. And the last point is, I think that a way we could change our future are our young people, and I think that in the public schools, if we could teach collaboration instead of so much competition, for example, every classroom, they could start in first grade, they could have three teams, and they work together as a team in their math and in their reading instead of having so much competition. And I think there should be way more collaboration taught in public schools, and that would help break down the barriers. And what do you think? I'll hang up, but I want to hear what you think. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for your call. Let me see. I'm trying to drop this call here. Okay. 503-231-8187. A few more minutes. We need a new agenda, is what I think. I think that we ourselves need to look at, prioritize what our concerns are. When we look and we see the Republicans who are gerrymandering their districts so that they can continue to have political muscle to we discovered that they're the party of no, particularly when it comes to food stamps, particularly when it comes to Head Start, particularly when it comes to helping folks after years and years and years and years of discrimination and economic segregation, what I call economic segregation. We just need a new agenda, particularly when we look at the education, drug addiction, you know, programs and money for drug addiction. Here we're getting ready to go over in Syria. Are you serious? You know, with no game plan, you fall for the same okie doke. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. The interest charges and how black people are losing their becoming under foreclosure, because if you don't have a job, you can't pay your mortgage if you have a mortgage. So these are some of the issues that I just wanted to just take a moment to get to bring our thinking back home where it belongs. 503-231-8187 is the number. I'm Shahid. This is a monthly edition of It Takes a Village. And it truly does take a village. Now, we're not trying to intimate. We're not trying to hint that there's some sort of anti-white, because this is what happens anytime you talk about black pride or black movement. It's not anti-white. It is pro. It's pro African American. It's pro black. That's all. You don't have to. It's not an either or situation. Okay. So we need to at least begin a discussion, I think, on what these current statistics mean. 50 years after the march, where do we go from here? Where do we go as a people? Where do we go as individuals? Where do we go when it comes to our women, our women, our children, our communities? What's the plan? I'm behind the plan. Just tell me what it is. 503-231-8187 is the number. We're on monthly, and I want to thank those of you who tuned in today. I think I have another phone call here. Let me see if we have time. KBOO, your question or comment?
Yes, hello. I'm just passing through, and appreciate your show and hearing this. And, you know, when I hear you say it takes a village, it rings so true with me in the struggle for justice. And one thing that really comes up for me is that part of that village is the white community.
Absolutely.
And something I see in as part of the dominant narrative, dominant culture, is that racism and these issues of inequality, it is a black people's problem. It is a Native American problem. You know, it is a Latino problem. When really, it largely rests on the shoulders of white people.
Right.
And we continue to deny that responsibility. So, yeah, I see that as a critical piece for change and needs to be a part of this new strategy. And I'm not sure we're moving forward. And I'm not sure exactly how to do that beyond my own individual relationships and conversations I have and how I live my life. But I see it as a critical piece of,
great,
of white people acknowledging our responsibility.
Great. Thank you so much for your call and your comment. You know, yes, many whites today feel that the race issue is really a non-issue, you know, like get it, you know, the kind of get over it mentality.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the dangers that we face, and we have to keep this uppermost in our mind. Thank you so much for your call. I only have to get ready to get out of here now, but it's been interesting. I hope some of you have begun to think about some of these issues and think about how we are as a folks to address some of these issues. I'm Shahid Hamid for It Takes a Village. Thank you so much for listening. See you next month, the first Friday of every month. Peace. I'm out.
preparing for our legendary book and record sale.
We are accepting your donations of books, comics, LPs, CDs, DVDs, and VHS tapes. Your discards are another person's treasure, and all sales benefit. KABU, bring your donations to the stations at 20 South East 8 between 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. weekdays.
Questions? Contact Ani by email at volunteer at